at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon. It's 4:06, and Mike, I see you have survived the election.
The election? There was an election?
There was.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, all of that voter fraud and
stuff. Oh, voter fraud. Yeah, I recall that. Yeah. I had a depressing day the next day, and I'll just leave it at that. But anyway, thank you for listening. We're going to talk something that's positive, like plants and things. And the weather is cold. The plants mm-hmm. are going to sleep. We should probably go to sleep till
I'm for
April.
That. I'm good. Yeah.
Wake up in April. I think bears got a good idea. They hibernate, you know. That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
But yesterday, by the way, was a birthday for the United States Marine Corps.
Yes, indeed.
245 years old. And having been and a former Marine, I celebrated with them.
Cool.
And they have a tradition that on a Marine Corps birthday, when you're in a company or a platoon or a regiment or whatever, mm-hmm. that they have a big celebration, and then they have a cake and all that kind of stuff. And the tradition is that the youngest Marine in that particular detachment mm-hmm. Helps cut the cake with the oldest Marine in that detachment. And my first year that the Marine Corps birthday came up, I happened to be the youngest Marine in our detachment, so mm-hmm. I helped my CO cut the first piece of cake.
Nice.
and all that. So I got, they took pictures of me and all that kind of stuff. And so, and you know, and it's let's say, very interesting, very exciting, very tough, but I'm glad I was, and I'm glad I went into the Marine Corps when I did, and I was glad to be able to stand for America.
Nice. And well, thank you for your service.
Well, you're welcome. And you got a present or anything?
You want to do the show.
Give me another glass of water. And then today is Veterans Day, you know?
It is.
And so I missed the Veterans Day parade downtown.
I
used to love to go to the Veterans Day parade because there was so many people, and it was so good to see all those kids out there mm-hmm. and
flags and
flags and people. Yeah. You could barely walk down the sidewalk because of the people, and you know, and all the floats and all that kind of stuff. It was just a great thing. So this COVID garbage is it's not very high on my list of things that I want to see hang around here. So.
It just seems to be getting worse.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's getting worse or it's the propaganda that is getting worse, but whatever. I'm sure there'll be people that disagree with that analysis at all. But anyway, this is a plant show, so thank you for listening. And if you have questions, please don't hesitate to call 673-4464 and ask your question. Regardless of what I'm speaking about at the time, it doesn't matter. Interrupt me and ask your question. Do you need to prune something? Do you need to plant something or fertilize or build something? My sole purpose here is to help you out. My sole purpose here is, hey, I've got 46 years of experience. I've made more mistakes than you can ever dream of, and I've corrected them, and I've learned from them. And so I can give you good info, maybe save you some time, save you some labor, and save you some money.
And headaches.
And get great results from whatever you do in your yard. Maybe. And that's the point of this program. So anyway, as I come in here, the sun's shining, and my opening line today was, hey, it's finally raining in Oregon, you know? Finally, we got some rain. And we did finally get some significant rainfall this week.
Mm-hmm.
And my creek actually looks like it's still alive. And it came up a few inches. It's not running, you know, swiftly over the rocks yet. But it came alive, and it's looking better. And, it's been very long, dry fall. I mean, this is not the normal fall, and I pray that it's going to catch up with itself here through the rest of November, December, January, and February. And, you know, we do need some more rain. We need some significant snowfall in the Cascades, because I don't want to have to go through another summer of hot, dry weather.
Sounds like we're going to get a lot of rain here in a few days.
Well, that's good, and you know, I'm up to my eyeballs in landscaping jobs right now, and I've got so many things I have to do and have to accomplish, and then, you know, with the COVID thing, everything kind of got twisted out of shape and slowed down, and people missing, and that kind of thing, and then we finally get a handle on that, then it starts raining, so I'm already behind to begin with, and then it starts raining, and I got people saying, you said you were going to be here on such and such a time. I says, well, it's, you know, it's pretty much out of my control. I can't, and I said, then if it starts raining and gets really sloppy wet, there's no way we can do, you know, major portions of your project, because we have to trench, we have to have topsoil, we have to have, you know, lawns and sprinkler systems, and you know, it's when it's pouring rain and it's just pure socky mud.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't say it's impossible to do, but it's certainly not fun, and it certainly takes three times as long to do something like that, and the product, the end product, is not good.
Oh, okay.
And that's the part I hate. If you can't do it right, I hate to do it. I want to do it right, and weather conditions have to be correct so that you can do it. So anyway, you know, the rain is a blessing, and the rain can be a curse. It depends on what you do. I guess if you work in a nice place like this radio station, it doesn't really matter if it rains, right?
Nah.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Unless
that's why I come in here every Wednesday just to do this.
Unless it's raining when I get off.
Oh, okay.
I have to walk out to my car, you see.
Yeah. So, you know, think about this. Well, if it is raining, just think about what are your landscaping plans for next year? You as the homeowner, you as the person sitting there looking at the same old yard saying, I wish I could do something with this yard. I wish there was something I could do. Well, you can plan for next year. And take the winter and analyze what you have, analyze your yard, you know, get some ideas, read some books, get on the internet thingy and look at different landscapes and get a feel for, hey, how do I want to change my yard? Do I want it more functional? Do I want it more relaxing? Do I need to build compost bins? Do I need to put up a swing set? Do I need to plant some trees? Do I need to prune some trees? Do I need all that grass, or can I reduce the amount of grass? Should I have a water feature? Should I have a sprinkler system? There's so many things that you could think of to do, and it's almost confusing, and it's very time-consuming, and it can grip you and grab you and not let you go. It's fun. It's not that bad, and this is a time of year that, you know, planning. It's just like planning your future yard. What do you want it to look like? And it doesn't have to be all done in one fell swoop. You know, you can take time to get the basics. You do the basics, and then you add a little bit more, then you add a little bit more. It's an ongoing kind of thing. It's a creative thing. It wasn't all, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and your yard wasn't landscaped in a week, okay? It might take 5 years. My first yard took me 5 years to landscape, simply because I didn't have the time. I was working on everybody else's. But
it was worth it.
It was worth it. It was worth it, because when I sold the place, I got 2.5 times what I paid for. And it was the landscaping that did it.
Yep.
Because that was the first words out of the lady's mouth. We love your yard. Your yard is really beautiful.
And bingo.
Then they walked into our old house and said, but your yard is beautiful.
that's
golly.
Funny.
So it's time. And, you know, what do you want to do? You want to remove the old lawn. You're tired of fighting it. You're tired of watering it. You're tired of fertilizing and cutting. And it's still kind of brown and still not lush. It's still not green. You still have diseases. You still have brown spots and stuff like that. Well, maybe you can remove some of that and build some raised beds. Or you know, just figure out how to cut down on your maintenance time. anything that you can do, maybe your lawn is 2,000 square feet of size, and if you cut it down to 500 square feet and kind of gave it, instead of a square or a rectangle, you made a kind of curvy little spot that was just big enough to sit a lawn chair on and just relax, and the rest of it was plant beds, maybe that's something you might want to do. There are just really unlimited ideas that you can have for landscaping, and there are plenty of books that are available on the marketplace that they have beautiful photographs. You know, here's a before, here's an after, or here's the finished product, and they talk about what you're seeing in the photo. They talk about, well, these are these kind of plants and these are these kind of trees and blah blah blah, and you can see, hey, wow, that really looks good, that really looks great together, what can I do, how can I do that? And one of the places, I don't know, I go to While Away Books over on Harvard. I don't know if you've ever been in there.
Mm-hmm, sure.
They got all those used books. They got a jillion used books. Yeah. I mean, but they got
great selection.
Oh yeah, great yeah. selection. I go. I got a card in the file. You know, I turn yeah. books in, get yeah. credit, and all that kind of stuff. But just in their gardening section, there's probably good three or four shelves full of gardening books, different types
wow.
of gardening, landscaping, plant books
yeah.
that you can get all kinds of ideas about. And I go in there and I thumb through some of them for ideas and just some direction, or if I don't know a particular plant or the background of a particular plant, and maybe my books that I have at my nursery don't tell me, I can probably find it there. But that's a good place to sit. It's
sure.
quiet.
Yeah.
Open the pages, look at the pictures, and you go, wow, my yard could look like that. How cool is that? And then you begin to plan the process mm-hmm. over the winter.
And you don't have to save it in a file to come back to it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Oh, gosh.
Did that go over your head?
Yeah, it did.
It was computer.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I know. But that's okay. I don't mind. I don't care even. Remember, I'm the guy with the flip phone, man.
Me too. In fact, well, they're trying to sell me a new one, but I...
Who is?
The, my, what do you call it? I don't want to make the name.
Provider. Ah.
They said mine's obsolete and it won't work after December.
Oh, that's what they tell you all the time, just to force you into a $1,000 phone.
Yeah, it didn't work. I just said, oh, I'll come back some other day.
when it's not raining, I'll come back. Oh, gosh. But, if you look at the plant books and the landscaping books, and you know, you kind of get an idea and say, well, yeah. how in the world do I approach that? How do I even get started in there? You know, you can walk around your own neighborhood if you live in town, and you see it. There are some yards that are really pretty and well designed and well thought out, mm-hmm. but you never met the person that lived there. Well, shoot, if you can find them working in the yard or you know, somewhere getting out of their car, introduce yourself and say, I love your yard.
Yeah.
And right away, you got an instant friend when you say that to somebody. Your yard is so cool. I really love your yard. And right away, that person's got a smile on their face and say, well, great. Thank you. I appreciate that. And this is this. And they start taking you around, and you can ask them a lot of questions like, how did you get that done? Or how did you achieve that? Or where did you buy that such and such? Or how do you get those kind of rocks? And they're just full of information because those people really enjoy what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They pay attention. They know where to get, you know, rocks, gravel, topsoil. You know, I tell you all that stuff too. But, you know, it might be easier to do it in your own neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it works. I've done it. As a landscape contractor, if I'm driving someplace and I see a really nice place and there's somebody working in the yard, I'll stop. I'll compliment them on their yard. And, you know, they're instant friends, instant conversations happening
the
right
there.
The
shotgun didn't come out.
No. What are you doing stopping your truck in my street, man?
Yeah.
No, that's okay. And if all that doesn't work, you've looked at books, you've talked to neighbors, and you still need some more advice or some more direction, call a professional, i.e. me. You don't have to call me. But call a landscape contractor or a landscape designer. I am both. And, you know, bite the bullet and I'm going to charge you a little bit of money to draw a plan for you. But the process is we meet, we look, I ask questions, you tell me what you want, I give you suggestions, and you say yay or nay, or, you know, the conversation revolves on, hey, what's your ultimate goal in your yard? What do you want it to be? Do you want it to be a place of relaxation and quiet? Do you want birds? Do you want squirrels? Do you want grandkids running around the place? Well, how do we landscape it to make, you know, fit in all those things?
Right.
Or exclude some of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's,
maybe it's
yeah.
just a private, quiet sanctuary where you escape. You know, I mean, that's, I got one of those at my house. I escape. All I got to do is go outside. You know, I got wilderness right out my door. But sometimes you need that quiet.
Oh, you do.
Especially in a, you know, like a nice spring day or a hot summer day, and you get home and you go, I don't want to hear the TV. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that.
I don't want to hear any more news.
I don't want to hear any more news. I don't want to hear about any more stinking elections. I'm just going to go out there and sit and read a book and be quiet.
Right.
And that's what you can create right. in your backyard. But like I say, it takes a little bit of planning. And, you know, that's unfortunately, that's what I do.
Speaking of planning.
And we're going to have a break, aren't we?
We are.
I knew that.
All right. More planning and landscaping coming up. With Mike Winters, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
That's what it's all about, Local Talk at 4.
Are we still on?
We are
okay.
on, buddy.
Well, I've been talking about planning your landscape.
Yes.
And how you can do it yourself or hire a pro. And
like you.
Like me, and start the process. You know, and now it's not a quickie process. It takes time. it takes time to evaluate your soil, your geographical location, whether it's full sun or part shade or a little bit of both, you know, wind directions. There's a lot of factors that you have to take into consideration to make it work. And that's an important part of it.
I don't think my dad even knew what all that was about. He just stuck it in the ground.
Just stuck it in. Well, that's how most people are. They go, that's a nice tree. I'll just stick it right here.
That's a good spot.
Yeah, and then they forget, oh, my gosh, 10 years goes by and that tree's taken off your roof.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Wrapped around your gutters and plugged up your downspouts.
Oh,
yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Always cut it down.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing you have to do, too, as a homeowner, you got to start imagining the end product. You got to have a picture in your head. You know, you can look at all this stuff. You can look at all the books and other landscapes and things like that. And then you got to sit down, and it might take a while. It might take a couple of months. You got to imagine, what do I really want to create back here? How open or how private or how colorful or how simple, you know, what do I want and what is the end result and can I imagine what that's going to look like? And I'll tell you, if you can get to that point, it gets easier. if you've lived there for a few years and you still don't have a clue, I guess anything that somebody else might say, you know, a professional might say, will be appealing to you, and that works too. But if you can imagine what you'd like to see, what you'd like to have, what you'd like to live with, that's a big part of the whole deal. And here's a for instance. I happened to drop by a friend of mine about a month ago. Mm-hmm. I was in his neighborhood, and I thought, I wonder if Tom's still down at his house or whatever. So I go down to their house, and by golly, they were both there. And I've known these folks for years. And they have a pretty good size lot. I think it's probably a half acre. And
wow, that is a good size.
It's out Charter Oaks way. Out down.
Nice area.
Way down. And anyway, they had built a, I don't know, you can't, kind of a roofed area where they could, you know, have barbecues and have chairs and sit out in the evening, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Their own pavilion.
Yeah, and their yard is kind of a rectangle, so there's no curves to it. And they had it right there in the middle of their backyard. And they got a big backyard. It wasn't close to anything. But my friend and his wife were having a... a discussion as to placement of the structure. She didn't like it there. She wanted it back in the corner, farther away. And they have, unfortunately, they have a tree farm surrounding them. So there's these big tall trees in this very shady location. Very nice, very, very quiet and cool in the summer with the shade and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
And so I just stopped to say hi. Next thing I know, I'm dragged into this discussion about the placement of their structure. And I'm going, oh, gosh. and see, well, honestly, my friend, the guy said, I'm friends with both of them, but the guy friend said, Mike, what do you think of that position right there versus where my wife wants it? And I said, well, I prefer it back there where your wife wants it, simply because you still have a lot of space in your yard if it's set back a ways. Mm-hmm. And if you set it at an angle, it's more picturesque than square with the house.
In the middle of the yard.
Yeah, in the middle of the yard. And if you put it at an angle, it still looks good. And you've got all the rest of the yard for your grandchildren, whatever, to
play
in.
Baseball games.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
They could probably play a soccer game back there. You know,
yeah.
That's the kind of thing it is. And and his wife was, yeah, that's what he had. Thanks, Mike. You know, thanks, Mike. And I've known these people for 30 years.
Good thing.
And I says, but if you want to leave it here, Tom,
yeah.
I can landscape it and soften it up. And, you know, we can put some shrubs around it and make it look good. And his wife says, well, we can do the same thing if we're sitting back there in the corner, too, can't we?
Well, yeah.
And she had a perfectly good argument. And so they made the decision after I left.
Uh-huh.
Apparently they talked some more and it got moved to the
to
the corner of the property where she wanted
it. Yeah.
And I happened to bump into him a week or so later.
Uh-oh, you're in trouble.
I said, how you doing, Tom? He said, well, you know, Michael, I'm glad you stopped by. I said, you are? He said, yeah, you had some very good points and some issues there that we discussed afterwards, and it made a lot of sense. So I agreed with my wife, and we put the structure back
where
she wanted it. I said, well, great. So you're not mad at me? And he's, no. It worked out well, and Cheryl is happy.
Nah.
I said, okay, good.
The peacemaker.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's what planning is all about.
Sure.
See, you know, they probably didn't sit down initially before the project was built,
mm-hmm.
and say, well, if we put it there, it's kind of in the middle of the backyard, and we're losing a lot of open space, but if we put it over here in the corner,
it won't be so much in the way.
Exactly. It's clear back in the corner. Yeah. It's in a shady spot, and it fits well, and then they still got the big yard that they can do things in.
Right.
But I don't know if they had ever gotten that far in their discussion. Uh-huh. They just kind of, yeah, we're going to get this thing and
put it there.
And put it there.
Yeah.
But and that's like that's what I've been trying to get across. It's you need to, especially if you're married, you need to sit in the backyard and take a look, or the front yard and take a look and say, well, honey, what do you think if we put a row of fruit trees back there, or a rhododendron garden, or a waterfall, or raised garden beds, and get that kind of feedback, because mm-hmm. you're both going to live there for a while, and it has to be mutual, good and nice for both of you,
right?
And there has to be some compromise probably in there, because your wife might need some raised beds for vegetables, and you want a putting green. Okay, that's doable. If you got the room, it's a doable deal.
Sure.
It's easy. You just have to figure out so that you don't hit a golf ball at her when she's picking weeds in her raised beds.
Oh, you may want to.
You may want to, but you shouldn't, you know. It's good if you don't in the long run.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by you know, imagining the end product. Because once it's done and you go, oh gosh, I wish I hadn't have done that, or yeah. I wish that wasn't there. I wish I had known it was going to do this. And that's all part of the plan. You can eliminate a lot of those mistakes. Everything's not going to be perfect all the time, but yeah. you can eliminate a lot of those mistakes by chatting about it and bringing other ideas to the table and saying, well, supposing we do this. Okay, that might work, but if this happens, that happens. Well, mm-hmm. how about if we put it over here? Yeah, that's much better. So, yeah. you know, that's the kind of... and if it's
conversation you need,
exactly, yeah. exactly, and everybody's happy down there, down you know, a year later or 2 years later,
right? They're not whenever, still bickering about
whatever
you get
around there. I didn't like that tree there.
See I what told I did? You.
Oh gosh. So at any rate, for instance, I was going to talk about roses and. You know, if, for instance, in this part of the plan here, if roses are your favorite flower, get a rose book. Buy one. There are books on just roses with color photos in there. And you'll be amazed at all the varieties that are available. Now, just about any rose will grow in Roseburg, Oregon.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, hence yeah, the name. Yep, I mean, that's yep. why we got Roseburg.
We're named after
yeah,
Don.
And there's hundreds. I don't know exactly, yeah. but... I know there's multiple hundreds of varieties, and just for our area, and that's not saying what there is on the East Coast or in South America, for crying out loud.
China.
Oh, China. Yeah, you never know. Hmm. the varieties that are out there, and they're easy to grow. Roses are very easy to grow, and they're all very, very tough. And, you know, there's the mini roses, there's the hybrid tea roses, which are the long stem that you cut for bouquets and stuff. The mini roses are like, not ground cover, but small full shrubs that bloom a lot with small flowers, but they're really, really tough. And then you've got climbing roses that climb over fences or trellises or your roof. I've had that happen. And then there's a... even tree roses, you know, with a stem like a trunk, and then the roses on top, and that's what it is. It's a tree rose, and it's just a grafted shrub rose on a long stem. And but it's unique. It's it's pretty, and if you like, I say, many many colors to choose from, and it's. Easy plant, and if you got the sunlight, they don't do very well in shade. But if you got the sunlight, which most of our yards have some sun in them, but even a rose garden needs a plan. Even a rough sketch will be helpful, and you need to not overplant. You don't want to put them too close together, and that's a common mistake with any small plant that somebody buys. Leave some space between the plants; they grow. They get larger. I can show you rose bushes out there and probably within 3 blocks of where I'm sitting right now that are humongous. They're huge. They're 8 feet across
and
eight feet tall, and they're tangled together, and they're wrapped around your porch post or something. And it's because they planted them right next to the porch or right next to, you know, a tree. And it was cute for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then
they grew up.
They start to grow, and most folks are afraid to prune. They think they're going to kill the rose. They think they're going to kill the tree. No, you're not. You're going to make it better, actually. And so they don't prune anything. So consequently, that rose or whatever shrub it might be, it just goes wild. Mm-hmm. And they're much more healthy when they're pruned and taken care of, just like raising a kid. When you keep them pruned and well dressed and cleaned and well fed, guess what? They turn out okay.
In most cases.
In most cases.
All right.
You got another break already?
Already, man.
Dude, I've got pages and pages of notes here, man.
We'll get right back to that.
Okay.
On the other side.
Okay.
Coming back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Yeah, not a good idea to burn them if they're two inches away from the house.
Yeah, there's a detrimental effect to the siding, definitely.
A little charcoal effect.
Anyway, I'm talking about planning your landscape and the ideas you need to get and, you know, kind of the process you have to follow, and now I've switched kind of into roses. But if you do have a call, the number is 673-4464. And regardless of what I'm speaking about, you can bust right in and ask your question, okay? So the rose garden, and the reason I brought up the roses because as Dale and I were talking on the break here, you've often, or if you've been a regular listener, you've heard about my old house in Roseburg where I first, when I first got out of the Marine Corps, that's where we lived. And it was an old house with lots of old plants with roses growing over the roof and way too many plants in a real too small yard. And so I know from what I speak and what I'm telling you, because it took me 2 years to clean the place up. It took me 2 years to get a vision for what I wanted in this place.
Yeah.
But it did take 2 years and a lot of effort, a lot of energy, because I didn't have a lot of money to do it at the time because I was going to college and working part-time at the same time and you know, doing all that kind of stuff. So that's why it took 2 years. But finally, when we got it all done, and it took another 3 years to re-landscape it, when I started my business, but when it was all said and done, it was a nice yard. It was easy to take care of. And when we put it up for sale, the first people that came up on the porch bought it because they loved the yard. That should be an incentive in itself.
Hey, we got a phone call.
All right, let's have a phone call. You're tired of hearing me talk, right?
Hey, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. This is Wayne. I know you've been asked this question 1,000 times, but I mowed my lawn for the last time today. It was done growing. The last time I fed it was probably September, the 1st of September. Mm-hmm. What I want to do now is just tell me one or three steps or whatever, how many steps there is to put it to sleep. So it'll sleep good all through the...
You want to put it to sleep, huh?
I want to put it to sleep, so it leaves me alone.
Well, you know, as cold as it is, and it's getting colder and darker, the grass is starting to slow down, it'll go to sleep naturally. Don't fertilize it, don't water it, cut it. And this is one time of year I could say, hey, you could go ahead and cut it short because there's no weeds going to grow back over the winter. And don't scalp it, but you know, you cut it short and it's good for the winter, and it's in hibernation or whatever you want to say. It's dormant, and it's going to sit there for, oh gosh, what, till mid-February when the weather starts to warm up, and at which time things will start to green up again. And as soon as you see that, that's when you hit it with the fertilizer. Give it a good shot of fertilizer, you know, say the end of February, 1st of March, and it will pick up and keep going. The reason I say not to fertilize it now, because we're in the middle of November. If you would have fertilized it a month ago, 6 weeks ago, that would have been fine for the winter. But you don't want to wake it up and jar it and get it growing right now, because it's not timely. Okay, does that answer your question?
It does, sir. How often should I aerate in years? How often should I aerate my lawn?
Well, if you did it once a year, that would be fine. But if you can, at least every other year would be a good time. Depends on what your soil type is, too.
It's full of clay.
Full of clay. Well, every other year at least, if you have the energy to do it once a year, that'd be fine. Because when you aerate, you're going to be pulling the plugs out. You want to put some kind of a, you know, I like sand. You can throw a thin layer of sand over that, and that will go in the holes, and the sand drains well, and the clay just can't, you know, push back in and plug up the lawn again. The sand will keep it breathing easier. And if you do that over a few years, pretty soon you've got a good balance there, and your clay is not the boss of the yard anymore. That makes sense.
And scrape the plugs up.
Yes,
escape the plug.
Yeah, you can mow them up. You know, after the plugs are laying there, take your mower and just mow them. And some will get sucked up into the mower, and the rest of them will be broken up and scattered. So that's good.
All right, sir. Thank you very, very much.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All righty. Lines are open.
Lines are open. Anyway, I'm talking about landscaping and getting a plan and doing things to your yard to improve your yard. And I was talking about my roses that I had in my first house in Roseburg.
Yeah.
I don't have too many roses at my house where I live now. Maybe a few miniature ones, and that's about it. And
had you full of them.
Yeah, it's good enough. Yeah. And I have a bunch at the nursery, so that's good enough for me. But, you know, a rose garden can start small, you know, with a lot of space for future additions. Most people overplant. If they're not experienced, they'll go and say, oh, that one's cute. This one's beautiful. You take all these things home and you start lining them up. And pretty soon you say, oh, that looks really great. But you're not thinking that the plants are going to ever grow, that they're going to remain the same size. Not true. They will triple or quadruple in size over the course of the next year or two.
Yeah.
So when you can imagine that, you need to spread them out. So you don't have to buy as many to begin with. It can be sparsely planted. And like I say, you can always add something a year or two down the road. If you think, well, the roses look good, but there's a lot of space in between. Maybe there's 6 feet of space, 7 feet of space. Well, you can fill that space with perennials. You can fill that space with ground covers. You can, you know, there's numerous plants that will give you color and fill it up good. And stuff that you don't have to worry about and still have your roses at the same time. So don't jam it up. Just keep it open. It's more air circulation, and it just looks better. You might think, well, there's not enough there. There is. Trust me, there is. And in 2 years, you'll really see what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So I have enough space where you can, you know, walk around and prune the roses from any direction. You can actually walk around with it without getting snagged by the thorns from the rose right next to you that grabs your hand or grabs your pants and embeds itself in your leg or your arm. You know, just think about these things. Could they do that? They don't They don't do it on purpose, but, you know, that's just the nature of the game. Yeah. Then the other the easier rose gardens, of course, are those in containers, you know, because you can put them in a container, nice size container. You can move them around for a new look every summer. You can put them on the patio. You can put them on the front steps of your home. You can put them on a deck. You can just put them on the edge of a lawn and sit them right on the bark mulch. But they're in containers. They won't grow as fast. They'll be just as pretty. You can cut as many flowers, and it's a whole lot easier maintenance, and you can move them around and have them wherever you want. And then miniature roses. And I've spoken about them because I like them a lot. I mean, I like all roses, but I like the minis because they're so compact and they bloom for such a long time. And their flowers are not super large by any stretch of the imagination. They're like a silver dollar size, okay? But there are many of them. I mean, there's hundreds on a very small shrub.
Yeah.
Whereas on a hybrid tea rose, you might get 10 blooms at a time or 15 blooms at a time, depending on the size of the rose. Mm. But they're the long stem, beautiful ones that you cut for bouquets, etc. Well, the mini roses, they're not. They're more of a shrub type thing. They're more of just a colorful, good-looking shrub sitting in your yard or bordering your yard or bordering your front sidewalk or something like that. That's what they're good for. That's what they do best. And and they look really good in pots. You know, and the hybrid teas do also, but mini roses really look good in pots, and they perform well. And all you need is, like I say, good draining soil is the key to your success. You know, a good potting soil with a with a little bit of sand or topsoil mixed in with it, and some fine grind bark mulch. That's like the perfect growing medium for any potted plant, and roses will respond accordingly. And with this type of mix, it's almost impossible to overwater these things because the drainage is so excellent. The water hits and runs through. I mean, it doesn't just right through in an instant, but if it was harder soil, more topsoil, or more and with more clay or natural soil, you know, it doesn't drain. It just sits there and slowly drains. But our tendency is to, I watered the roses yesterday and it's hot today, so I'll water them again. So you get the accumulation of all that water, and next thing you know, your roses are looking pretty bad because you've rotted the roots because of too much water, because of poor drainage, because of poor soil that they were planted.
You drowned them.
Yeah, you drown them. You kill them. Plant killer.
We got to take a break.
We're going to take a break. Okay.
Last break. All right. We'll be again right back in a couple of minutes here with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, kind of on a cloudy Wednesday afternoon, we have Mike Winters to brighten our day.
Yeah, I'm trying to brighten it with landscape plans, and it might be working. I don't know if anybody's listening, but if you are, I've been trying to simplify your life and your landscapes, and by talking about the planning process, not planting process, but the plan. How do I make a plan for this, and what do I do, and how long will it take, and you know, those things. That's what I discussed at the first part of the show. And for an example, I've gotten to rose gardens, because what the heck, this is Roseburg, right? And named after roses, Aaron Rose. But you know, it's we're down to the point where I was talking about miniature roses and potted roses and the proper kind of mix that you would put in your pot. Make sure it has drainage in your pot, your container, whatever you want to call it. And make sure it's large enough that it can accommodate the rose for, you know, 10, 15 years or whatever. Don't get too small of a pot and stuff the thing in there and then wonder in 2 years why it's not growing well, because it can't expand, it can't grow, and it has no room. So you get invest a few bucks into a nicer, larger pot. It doesn't have to be huge, but it should be like maybe 24 inches wide and maybe 18 inches deep. They don't need to be deep, but they need to be wide because the roots spread out rather than grow down. And have mini roses or hybrid tea roses or even tree roses will fit in that kind of situation. And as I said in the last segment, the key to success is a good draining soil. It's going to work. And it's basically a mix of good quality plant soil, a little bit of sand or topsoil, and maybe a little bit of fine grind bark mulch. You mix it all together so that you can't tell, you know, what's what, but it feels good, it looks good, and it's healthy, and there's plenty of nutrition in there. And you plant whatever you're going to plant, whether it's roses or tomatoes, but you put a rose in there, and it's going to do really, really well for you. And you've created a good, fast draining soil when you water. If you're one of those waterers that can't resist watering every other day or something like that, if you have this good draining soil, the water, the excess water is going to drain out the bottom of the pot. So make sure whatever pot or container that you purchase has drain holes. And drain holes are very, very important. You don't want it building up as a lake in there, because that's when you got the problems. That's when you rot the roots, and that's when the plants die. Not just roses, but any type. And when you have that type of mix, it's impossible to overwater because the drainage is excellent. And then maintenance on it. Weeding is not a time-consuming task with potted roses, because there might be there's going to be a few weeds no matter what you do. Weeds show up everywhere. They show up in cracks in the sidewalk, in the middle of pavement, in the street, wherever they find a speck of soil, the seed somehow gets in there and grows. I mean, walk downtown, you'll see weeds in the cracks in the sidewalk, for crying out loud. So, but if it's in a pot, it's easy to do, and it's not very time consuming at all. It's a quick thing. You might have to weed once a month for about 6 minutes if you have a few pots of roses or other plants that you did that with. And it's done. And every other year or so, maybe add a little fresh mulch in there. And then you do your normal fertilization with a good rose food like a systemic. And a systemic rose food also has a pesticide in it. And systemic means that as the fertilizer goes down into the roots, of course, the roots pick it up, but there's also a pesticide and an herbicide in the formula, and it gets sucked up into the rose through the rose root systems. Yeah. So if the aphids or any other deadly bugs that come along that want to eat your roses,
surprise!
I mean, it repels them, and they might take a bite, but that's it. They're gone. And a good systemic rose fertilizer works really well in any potted type of plant. You can use it in the ground, but that's a lot of territory there. But when things are in a pot, it's pretty well confined, so that whatever you put in, whatever type of fertilizer, watering, etc., it's going to be there for a while. So it's a good way to feed and protect your roses or other flowering plants like azaleas or rhodies or whatever you might have in there. Just remember, when you do it, to water and fertilize lightly. You can, and I've said this 1,000 times, too much of either can damage or kill your roses or any other plant, and a little goes a long way. And remember, you can always add more if it's needed. So you go light. If the directions say a tablespoon, go half a tablespoon. And you can always add more in a month. You keep an eye on this stuff. If you're any type of gardener at all, you're looking at the plants on a daily basis, and you go, wow, what's wrong with that plant? Or, oh, that plant is beautiful. I mean, you're in tune with it. you're aware of what it's doing, how it's living, and how
you're
it's growing.
You're one with it.
One with it. Yeah, well, you know.
That's
like if you're a car nut, you know, you drive your car, and if you hear a tick, 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 and you say, hey, what's wrong with that?
Right.
You know, me, I'd ignore it. I don't care what it is.
More power to you.
Oh, gosh. We have any more time left
we
here?
We don't. Where are you located, Mike?
Oh, man, Winston, Highway 99. Go half a mile south of Winston, look for the big green roofs at Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. And I thank you for listening.
Thank you.